Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 45, and I'm Libby, your host, and this week we have three returning guests.
Hello, I'm Josh from Los Angeles.
Peter from Los Angeles.
Greg from St. Louis, Missouri.
Woohoo! Love St. Louis. And this week in the news, we have... Oh, also, Happy New Year. This is our first podcast,
a regular
podcast back.
Happy New Year!
Yay!
2011.
2011, yay.
All right, in the news, the big news that I've heard so far is that Sarah Michelle Gellar has landed herself a new pilot on CBS called The Ringer, where she's basically going to play some crazy girl on the run who replaces her twin sister, which I'm like, how's she on the run and replacing her twin sister at the same time? But whatever.
Her sister is more evil than she is?
Or is she the is she the evil twin is the question. I don't know.
Maybe
but
they're both evil twins. I don't know.
Is she going to try to right the wrong of her evil sister?
I have no idea. But I get the feeling she's not going to be a Slayer. So that's sad. But I can't resist. I'm probably going to check it out just because.
Totally.
Me too.
The next thing up is all the people who love Glee, and I'm using some sarcasm. I still am a fan. I'm still watching it. But I cannot get on board with this new project. They're doing a Glee reality show.
Ugh.
And I'm like, why make it stop?
Isn't that just American Idol?
Well, except in a group. So
they've already done that, the Battle of the Choirs.
Yes, but these are the Battle of the Glee Clubs.
Oh,
so I think you have to
God
be
almighty.
In high school Glee Clubs or something.
Oh, make it stop.
That's what I just said. And then the next thing we have is that Lauren Ambrose from 6 Feet Under, if for all those who don't remember, she played the daughter, has now joined the cast of Torchwood.
Yay!
So
right.
This is all... I'm actually kind of... It's weird because normally when Torchwood casts, it's British actors I've never heard of before.
Right.
And they end up being brilliant actors. I don't have a problem, but it's kind of bizarre when we have all these American kind of famous
all these
actors.
People that we know, and really, they're putting together a really cool cast.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So, yeah, thumbs up. Cannot wait. All right, anybody else have news?
I've got just a little bit of news. It's kind of sad news for fans of The Office. Steve Carell is going to be leaving earlier than expected this season. He's got maybe 4 episodes left, so... Bye-bye Michael Scott and pretty much bye-bye The Office.
Well, they're anticipating, they're replacing him with somebody. You think that's not going to work?
I don't think it's going to work. I think Steve Carell carries the show too much. Like, all the other characters are fun and interesting, but none of them have the charisma to replace Michael Scott. And I don't see, like, another person being able to come in and do it, because...
Are you even going to check out the first episode with whoever the new guy is?
I'm going to check it out, but I really can't say that I'm holding out much hope for it.
Have they announced who is replacing him yet? Or?
No, all they've said is that he's leaving early, and the last few episodes of the season are going to be like Jim and Dwight and everybody sort of trying to fill the power vacuum.
Mm.
Oh, so the new actor would be not till the next season.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I kind of agree with you. I feel like The Office is, and I really like The Office, but, I mean, it's okay if it were to end this run. Steve Carell's leaving. The show doesn't have to go on. It's got what is that, 7 seasons? It was not a long time, you know?
I think we're on season 6 now, yeah.
Oh, okay. But it's a great show, but I think it'd be fine if it left.
Yeah, it's done a good run, and, like, a lot of the subplots that we've really enjoyed have sort of come to their natural end anyway. So,
yeah.
So it's like, it's time for it to just sort of end gracefully, I think.
I agree.
Alright, we're going to move on to the shows, and one thing that we're going to do is we're going to cover some shows that are not necessarily this week, but shows that have been on in the last couple weeks that we haven't done a live podcast for those specific shows. We were doing our recap. So that means that shows that aired maybe last week or even maybe the week before, we're going to talk about some of those. But first off, we're going to talk about the new show, The Cape, that premiered on Sunday. And I have to say that I was super skeptical. I'm a big superhero fan, and usually you give me a show with superheroes, I'm on board. But all the previews and everything, every trailer I saw about the show looked awful. And so I went in to the pilot. I felt obligated to watch it, but I went into the pilot thinking it was going to completely suck. And I got to the end, and it didn't suck. I was very surprised. So
I would agree that it didn't completely suck. I was not overly impressed with it myself. I sort of felt that the villain Chess was kind of lame as far as supervillains go.
I like the actor. I think
I like the actor. I just thought that he's not right for this kind of role.
Well, he's playing it a little over the top, but then again, he always does.
Yeah, and I felt like the pacing for it was just too rapid fire. Like, we didn't really have enough time to sort of develop characters before we're on to, like, the next villain or next thing he needs to face.
Well, I actually don't quite agree with that. I thought they did a good job. Only thing is, I felt that they heavy-handed it, ham-fisted it with the relationship between the cop and his son.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, he loves his son.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Like, that I felt was very heavy-handed. But I have to say, once they got to the whole circus thing and him training and all that, I thought that was pretty interesting.
I thought it was interesting, but at the same time, I was like, I felt it just a little too convenient that Keith David's character happened to have the exact right type of cape that he needed to do what he wanted to do.
Well, I don't know if it was the cape per se is exactly what he wanted to do. It was more like his idea was, let me personify the superhero comic book character that I read to my son, so that'll be a signal to him. It was more, I don't know if he necessarily, he would have probably done it with a regular cape.
Exactly. I just felt it a little weird. He's like, oh, you're doing cape tricks? I happen to have this stupendous cape that I've been keeping in the closet for 20 years.
But it was all good. The thing I actually thought was cheesy was the hypnosis. Like, that I thought was a little like, whatever.
Yeah, the hypnosis was cheesy.
I have to say that the level of emotion that they engaged with the main character, I actually felt for him. Like, every time that he was really upset or every time he was really feeling whatever he was feeling, I was kind of there with him, and I was surprised by that.
I kind of felt that way about him, but not quite to the same degree. Like, I felt sympathetic for him, but at the same time, I don't know, he didn't really draw me in as much as I was hoping he would. Like, the second episode, I thought, was much stronger with the wife.
Mm-hmm.
I thought her whole arc was really well done.
Well, yeah, especially I understood her point, which is she needs a job to take care of her family, yet her son then feels that betrayal of her changing the name. Like, all that felt real, yeah.
And then when she finally, like, interviews, like, gets her interview with the defense attorney
that was pretty good.
Or, no, the district attorney. Like, I thought that was a very well done scene. And I don't know, I sort of feel like the gimmick for this is going to be that he has to go up against a villain who, when he first fights him, is going to totally kick his butt.
Well, that's
and then he's going to go and retrain himself so that he can add these tricks to his arsenal.
I don't know if that's going to be every week, but I do like them doing that in the first episode, because I really felt like if he had done that little bit of training and then went up against these villains or whatever off the bat and defeated them, it would have been cheesy.
Right.
But I like the fact that he goes up and he defeats a little minion, and then the first big bad guy, he gets wraps him up in chains and throws him in the river. I was like, brilliant.
Yeah.
So that was good.
I'm just hoping it doesn't become too much of a repeat gimmick that they do that.
Peter, you have not said a word, and I know you watched it.
Oh, no, I did. Actually, I think I'm pretty much agreeing completely with Livia. I had low expectations and found myself, like, you know, 20 minutes in going, oh, this isn't that bad. I mean, I can see the criticisms you're making about it. Honestly, the coincidence of the guy having the cape, you know, all that, I didn't mind any of that. And I would agree. I like the leading man. I think he's charismatic and interesting. I wasn't quite sure how engaged I was with the wife and kid story, but I did like what you're talking about, how she confronts the district attorney about, like, getting the job. Like, I did like that. I agree. But in general, it's like, I don't know how much I really care about the whole, you know, his past life thing. But, you know, not terrible. But overall, I even the cape effect is really, you know, it's really CG. It's such this weird morphous It's almost like an off color of black than right. like the actual yeah. black. Like, but for some reason, I don't mind it. And it's weird. I almost felt like, I know, I think, Livia, you're a little more skeptical of shows that can be kind of goofy or a little more like deliberately trying to be jokey. You don't really like that as much. And I don't necessarily love that, but I can be okay with that. And I don't know. I guess the tone worked. It's weird. Like, I liked the first season of Heroes, and I watched it. I did. And it, you know, kind of fell apart for me. But I will say that even from the beginning with Heroes, with, I forgot who the character is, but the guy who's kind of narrating it, mm-hmm. I always thought it was a little taking itself more seriously than it needs to. So I kind of liked the loose, fun feel of The Cape. Again, totally not saying it's great or anything like that, but I mean, I was like, oh, okay, I'm on board. You know, I'll watch this. So
yeah, that's pretty much when I got to the end yeah. of the episode. I was like, yeah. all right, I'll watch another one.
Yeah, yeah. The last scene of the first episode I thought was really good with him in the Army Surplus store with when he foils the two robbers.
Oh, and yeah, and I like the fact that he calls himself The Cape, and every time he says his name, everybody's like, really? That's yeah. what you're going with?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that he's like, really, The Cape? He's like, oh, don't worry, you'll work on it.
Oh, yeah, all that was pretty good, I have to say. So I'm like, yeah, I'm on board again. Okay.
I watched a little bit of it, and it didn't really pique my interest, but after hearing you guys talk about it, I'll give it a second chance.
Yeah, because I had that same reaction. I watched like the first 10 minutes first, and I was like, mm-hmm. eh. And mm-hmm. then Peter said, oh, it's pretty good. So then I went back and actually watched it, and then I was like, all right, it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, you should get past that first 10 minutes, because it does feel weird that way. But anyway, let's move on. I want to talk about the finale of The Closer, which wasn't really a finale per se. It was actually just like a standard episode. I was a little disappointed. I was expecting... Sometimes The Closer ends on a cliffhanger, and I guess I was looking for some sort of cliffhanger-esque something, and no. It was a standard episode. It was a good episode, but it was a standard episode.
It was a good episode. I actually thought, yeah, to me, I felt like if they were not going to do... Because, I mean, anybody who watches The Closer knows that the kind of the main thrust of the story, and since we know Closer is going into its last season, it seems to be about... You know, is Bill Pope being pushed out of his job, or he is being pushed out of a job, and what does that mean? And is Brenda going to take over his job, and what does that mean? And then there's the new, I guess, is he the chief of police, the new character?
Yeah, Delk.
You know, so there's all the politics that's going on, and I feel like that's what they're going to go into for the last season. So I was kind of surprised that they didn't really, it's not like they didn't deal with that at all in the last episode. Like, they didn't give us a little, like, a hint or something. We're like, oh, that's interesting. The one thing they did was, and I know they've done this before, Livia's right, sometimes The Closer ends on a cliffhanger. I remember the Shooting Spree one was a specific one with the guy in a helicopter and don't know if he's going to die. I know they've done this in the past, though, where the finale of The Closer is pretty much the entire show is always, you know, Brenda Lee knows what's going on. She's got her team has her back, and that's kind of the, you know, that's the way it is. Usually in a finale of The Closer, which is what they did for this finale, one character, and it's usually Gabriel, really thinks Brenda is wrong. And in this one, he completely, like, you know, he pretty much goes over her head, right?
Yeah, he goes over her head twice.
Right, and, yeah. and in a way, Brenda kind of was wrong.
Yeah, she
and
was.
I think that's kind of how it was a finale episode, because we don't usually see the ruffling of the ranks that much. So I guess that's how it was a finale. I'm not saying that's a great way to be a finale, but I'm like,
thing is, when they had Gabriel do an end run around on her, I rolled my eyes, because remember they had a season, like season 3 or whatever, where it was her and Gabriel fighting the entire season.
Right.
And I was like, come on, we cannot go back to that. Because, I mean, they did it. It got resolved, the end. And I felt like they were trying to rehash that, and I was really afraid. But it was really more about the fact that she just doesn't get addicts. And then I was kind of like, how could she have been a murder-homicide detective for as long as she's been and not understand addicts?
Well, I think it was more a... Yeah, I agree. But I think it was more a window to... have that conversation with Fritz about I think that's more what that's about, but I agree.
I understand that's why they did it, and that to me is a writing kind of cheat, because I don't feel that she should have been that naive. She's dealt with liars before. She's dealt with... you can't tell me that there's been no drug addicts in her murder room before. I don't believe it. But I understand that they did that so that they could have that conversation between her and Fritz, and Fritz could have... because the conversation itself was great. You know, when Fritz is like, I'm both a good man and a monster. Like, that was really good.
Oh, I did like that. Yeah, I agree.
But I felt like they cheated to get to that point. So
weird, too, because the episode before this was their two-parter Christmas
episode, which was really good, right?
And it ends, and it literally ends with the character looking in a video camera, i.e. the audience, and going, Merry Christmas, have a great year. So I mean, to me, that was the end. That felt like the finale. I was like, oh, that's a nice way to go out.
Yeah, I was really surprised there was another episode.
Me too. I think you and I were both like, wait, there's another episode? Like, well, I've seen it. Like, it was weird. So, but it was a good episode.
It was. I just felt like they cheated a little bit. All right, let's move on. The next thing I want to talk about is Lie to Me. We haven't talked about that in a while, and there was a new episode. And I'll let Greg get in his negative before I say anything. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, Olivia, thanks for letting me bash on a show that you liked a lot. I've been watching Lie to Me, and mainly because you kind of pointed it out as a really good show. And, my DVR was already full, and when my DVR gets full, I just can't add anything more. But I decided to check it out, and the episodes are really good, but I don't know, it's, I guess specifically with this episode, the thing that really got me was, the suspense was building. He's, trying to help out the father of the friend of his daughter, and, he ends up... partway through, they ends up getting drugged and somehow ends up in the mental institution where he's trying to help this guy. And all of the suspense is building. And then it seemed like right in the middle of the episode, the entire plot got stopped by his daughter running in and trying to find out where he is. And they've done this over and over in episodes. And I think it just stops, all of the plot cold. His daughter knows what he does for a living. And so for her to come running in and trying to find him, oh, I'm worried about him. He hasn't called. I don't know what's going on. She knows what he does. And it just...
Yeah,
it got
but
me.
You make it seem like he's a cop, which he's not.
He's basically put himself as almost like a private investigator, because he kind of goes on these cases to try to figure out, these things that have...
Right, but you make it seem like his job is inherently dangerous, which it technically isn't. The reason that his job is dangerous is because of what he does, because he puts himself in danger.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's my point. He puts himself in danger every week. And so she knows this, and it's like, they have her running in, every episode, saying, where's my father? I don't understand.
She doesn't do this every week.
Tell me where he is?
I think that you're making it sound crazy. It does seem legitimate. One, she's a teenage girl who's still in high school, and her dad takes care of her. Her mom and her dad share custody. She's with her dad. He's supposed to be taking care of her. And then all of a sudden, she wakes up in the morning, he's not there. I think it's legitimate that she goes, hey, where's my dad?
And so my counter argument to that is that she is a teenage girl, so she doesn't care about her parents. She wants to be left alone.
True, I don't want my dad bursting in the room, but if he's missing, I still am going to be concerned, even when I am a teenager. I'm not heartless.
I think they do a better job with this on Castle. They show
Castle never goes missing
with his daughter, and it ends up being sort of at the beginning of the episode and the end of the episode, and that's where I think it should stay.
Okay. The episode itself for Lie to Me I thought was very good, which was, like you said, the mental institution. There's a guy that they said is over-medicated. His daughter thinks that he's being over-medicated and that the hospital's just trying to get their money because they're rich. And you're thinking that, because the doctor is freaking creepy. So you totally believe that it's the doctor who is drugging this guy. And he has obviously these control issues, and Lightman can tell he's lying through his butt and everything, and you're like, it's totally this guy. So I liked, you didn't finish the episode, but the twist of it was that it wasn't the doctor who was drugging it. And Lightman did get drugged, but it wasn't that Kool-Aid or whatever he drank at the beginning of the episode. What it was the sister of the guy that was in the hospital. She wanted to maintain her empire. And if her brother got checked out of the hospital, he would then take half of it. And so she had been drugging him with these baked goods she's been giving him every week. And so that's why he's crazy. And when Lightman went over to the house to question the family, he ate one. And that's why he started hallucinating and going crazy. But what was really cool about his hallucinations, I don't know if you saw far enough to see his hallucinations, but what was pretty cool is he got to talk to his mother, who's been dead for quite a while. And so we got to see his relationship with his mother, and we got to see him talk to his father, who's also been dead for a while. So that was all pretty good, because that gave you an interesting glimpse into how he is who he is. Because he's a strange combination between his mother and his father, and his reckless kind of violent side is definitely from his dad. And you get all that in the hallucinations, and that was all. I thought that was great. So I think you kind of turned it off a little too soon. That's all. All right, let's move on to Castle.
Good segue.
Yeah right.
Go ahead.
Well, I think this season of Castle has been insanely strong.
Yeah.
I have loved every episode, and this week was no different. It was the magician episode, and we sort of, like, as we're going through it, we find out that Beckett is a huge magician magic fan, and right, she's got all these tricks.
Dude, it's just so strange. It doesn't quite fit her character.
Yeah, well, that kind of surprised me.
It surprised me too, but in a good way, because it's usually Castle who geeks out over this stuff. So to see Beckett do it for once, it sort of twisted it up a little bit, and I kind of like that.
What do you think about the Espinito? Is his name Espinito? Something like that. His relationship with the coroner, like, that kind of came out of left field.
It did kind of come out of left field, but I thought they handled it well.
I thought, like, everybody knowing about it made it funny.
And I don't think it disrupted anything.
No, which, not really.
So I was fine with it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Also, it gives them more characters. They don't develop those secondary characters very much at all.
Yeah.
So
Esposito.
Esposito. What did I say?
Espinito.
Yes, close. they don't develop those guys very much at all, so anything is good.
Yeah, so I'm really glad to see them develop them more, like with Ryan's proposal to his
girlfriend. Oh, that was actually really good.
Which was amazing, and like, I kind of know a little inside information just because the woman who plays the girlfriend is a friend of mine. And she's actually married to him in real life.
Oh, that's cool. Oh.
Yeah. So like watch that scene again with that information, you'll be like, this scene is beautiful.
What'd you think, Greg?
Oh yeah, I thought it was a great episode. I've really been enjoying watching Castle. It's been, I mean, some episodes have been stitches and everything stays really interesting and really draws me into the story each week.
Peter has watched Castle for the very first time, and the magician episode was his very first episode.
Oh, really?
So, Peter, go.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Nathan Fillion, and I've heard good things about the show. I just hadn't seen it. So I watched the episode, and I was a little worried in the beginning. You know, we were just talking about how Olivia is not necessarily a huge fan of, like, kind of goofy humor. And in this case, I was not necessarily a fan. There's a scene near the opening where, I guess, these two characters have slept together. And obviously, I don't really know about that, as you guys do, which is fine. What I didn't like was then in the next scene, I think Castle is talking to him. And it's very much that thing we've seen a million times where the one character thinks that his secret, that he's sleeping with her, is revealed. And of course, it's not that. I hate that kind of dialogue, because I'm just like, oh, come on, who cares? I can't believe you're pulling this move. Also, I thought Castle suffered a little from goofy music syndrome. Grey's Anatomy is the worst offender of this, but it's a little too, like, sing-songy. It drives me up the wall. That said, I did like Nathan Fillion. I thought the magic premise was kind of entertaining. Just want to ask you guys this. I think I mentioned this to Olivia. The partner that he has, who I think is a police, because I think he's a writer and...
Yeah, she's a cop.
She's a cop. I don't usually say this about actors or actresses, but I kind of find her kind of cover model looks kind of distracting. Now, I'm not saying, like, she's so gorgeous. It's just she has this very, like, she looks like somebody who would be on the cover of a magazine. She has a very, like, statuesque face, and there's something about her, and it's a little, not sure what it is. There's something off-putting about that, and I'm not, again, I'm not saying that you can't have attractive people on shows.
But I was about to say, you can't watch television ever again. Right. Yeah.
I guess to me, there's another show that I haven't really watched.
I have a question. She distracts you, but Olivia Wilde on House is fine?
Yeah, but I guess for some reason, with Olivia Wilde, and also, you know, to be fair, I've seen way more of House, but Olivia Wilde, I guess, does something
to your lower bits.
It works for me, like her, because I guess both characters are playing kind of extreme, like, she's a tough cop and she's a genius doctor, so I guess you could say
it doesn't bother me at all, actually.
No, it doesn't bother me.
She doesn't
either.
Look like a cover model to me, but that's just
does to me, but I can see how, under the right lighting with the right makeup, she could be.
But
there's
yeah.
that show Bones, and I'm Bones, Dave Boreanaz. You know,
you don't hold up. You can't bring up Bones. You don't watch Bones.
No, I've seen an episode of Bones. I'm not gonna put down Bones. I'm gonna say how on Bones you have Boreanaz, and then you have, is it Emily Deschanel? Is that her name?
Yes,
Emily Deschanel.
Like, Emily Deschanel is pretty, but there's something about her that gives her, I don't know, there's something about, there's like, there's an extra oomph that she has where I'm like, oh, okay, she's pretty, but she's also this. The woman on Castle, I'm not quite sure if there's some, like, all those interrogation scenes, I was like, I don't know if I'm really getting, like...
Well, I think you have to give it another couple episodes.
Yeah,
I think overall, I thought it's pretty much, I could see why, you know, if you like Nathan Fillion, you know, it's a fun show. I can see why everyone likes
it. I have to say that in the first season, Beckett's character was actually weak. And it took a while for me to warm up to her, but I think second season she's really a much stronger character. And I just think you have to watch a couple more episodes, and I think you'll be on board.
Yeah, you're probably right. So,
All right. The next show I want to talk about is V.
Mm-hmm.
Silence. Anybody who saw it?
I saw it.
All right. What you think?
Are we just talking about this week or the last two?
We can talk about the last two because I like the premiere. I thought the premiere episode was pretty good.
I thought the season premiere was good. This week's episode,
not so much.
Not so much.
No.
I watched this week's episode, and I haven't been watching it, so I was kind of lost. So I hope you guys.
Okay. Yeah, watching it cold. Yeah, watching that would be weird.
Yeah, just coming in cold on this. Wow. Okay. My biggest beef with this week's episode was
the soul. Thank you! Yeah. I was like, what the heck are you guys talking about?
I was like, first of all, the soul is an abstract concept.
Right.
Second of all, how is it that they have been among us for so long, they've been studying us, and not once has this concept come up to them?
Yeah, they're like, oh my god, we just discovered the concept of the human soul.
We discovered that humans have this special thing inside of them that stores their emotions, and it's called a soul, and now we're going to dedicate all of our scientific efforts to finding this soul and
eradicating
it out.
I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I thought it was just ridiculous. Like,
yes.
And
that's awesome.
It was like last week's episode was all building really nicely. I was enjoying where it was going.
Yeah.
But we've taken a severe left turn.
We really have. And I hope they just sort of forget this. And the saddest part about it is the whole soul thing really revolves around bringing in Jane Badler again, who played Diana in the original V.
She was awesome. But
she was great.
She was great. And even with the destruction of the whole soul thing, she was still really good in this episode.
Yeah,
she was.
Even though I felt it was jarring just seeing her having played Diana for so long in the original and just being so anti-human and just wanting to wipe them out completely.
And now she's
their strongest advocate. And I'm like, oh god, yikes.
But it was all still pretty good. And I liked the fact that the fifth column,
I love the Fifth Column stuff. Yeah,
the Fifth Column. I like the fact that the new thing that they have this week, which they introduced this week, was pretty good, is we've been watching just these four guys thinking that they're the Fifth Column.
Right.
And then you find out that these other groups have said, we're Fifth Column too, because... And then they're all...
And they're this whole worldwide network of, right, like, very organized, very well-funded terrorists. And
I was
terrorists.
Like, we've been watching the wrong group.
Yeah. And, like, they're sort of realizing, wait, we're not the Fifth Column. We need to get on board with these guys. We need to bring them into what we're trying to do.
Yeah, because they are way more organized.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that also, because what it's also an asset, if you think about it, is that Fifth Column now has kind of a tradition, and anybody who follows that tradition can call themselves Fifth Column, and right, they're totally separate cells. Right. They have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, but the thing that I like about it is, like, this much bigger network of Fifth Column is kind of unfocused.
Right.
Like, they don't...
Well, they are focused.
They don't have the same sort of driving principle that these four established characters have, right, been building. And so I like the idea of them, like, okay, we need to find them and we need to sort of teach them our philosophies, and then we'll have the greatest Fifth Column army ever.
Well, and I have one thing that I'm wondering about. You know the FBI agent who's actually a V?
Malik, yeah.
I thought that the only women we were seeing were queens. I was convinced of that for a while. And then I'm like, wait a minute, she's not a queen. So what the heck?
I don't know. I'm okay with her not being a queen, just because in the original you had plenty of different male and female.
Yeah, I know, but on this show it really feels like the only time we ever see a female is a queen. So it was just throwing me off a little bit.
It didn't bother me much. What I really liked was
her whole pulling that tooth out. Ah!
Oh God, that was. So creepy.
That was cool.
Oh, that made me cringe.
That was nasty.
But
that was
What I really liked was, like, this whole, like, sort of chase that she and Erica were...
Yeah, the subtle not talking to each other, but they're, like, totally suspecting each other.
And then when they finally have it out in the car.
Yeah, that was actually great. It was like, I think I know you're a spy. I think I know you're a spy. Mm-hmm.
But I love, like, how, like, they would get this information separately, and they would both individually think, okay, we've got one up on them, and they're still, like, on the same track.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I'd say the only misstep that they've made is the whole soul thing. I think everything else is working really well.
Yeah, and even Red Sky, and I like the new scientists.
Yeah, the Red Sky was pretty good. Yeah. So, all right, let's move on. The next thing I want to talk about is Human Target. Human Target was last week, but they had a two-parter. They were supposed to be this week, but it got preempted. So I want to talk about the last week two-parter, which was the first one. Was Chase's old girlfriend shows up and needs his help. And then the second one was he and Ilsa end up stranded in the middle of the woods. Go, Greg. You were talking about this, raving.
Oh, yeah. I texted you after the episode, and after the dual episode, and I thought it was just fantastic. They're just, like, knocking the ball out of the park. You know, the way you know, Chance kind of got manipulated by his girlfriend, and kind of, like, the plot twist that they did with that was really kind of cool. And then they didn't really just... I was kind of wondering, like after, you know, they had the big battle scene and there was, like, you know, the missile, you know, it's like Chi McBride shoots the missile out of the plane.
Oh, that was fantastic. He was like, how hard can this be? And it's all written in Arabic. And he's like, oh. I was like, you didn't read the directions while you were sitting around on the plane? Like,
well, yeah, he almost blew the plane up. I mean, that was like, he fires a missile from the plane.
Well, what's great about that... What's great about that is he was like, I'll go on this mission if I get to fire the missile. And my thing is, if I'm that excited about firing a missile, I think I will read the directions before it's time for me to actually fire the missile. So I was just like, seriously, dude? But I really liked the tension between Chance and Ilsa. Like, that all came to a head really nicely this week.
Yeah.
And...
Although I'm not really sure how he got the plane to land. It's like, at first I thought he actually opened the door, and that's why they had the... But then when the plane landed, like, the door was still there. I didn't know what happened with that.
No, he landed the plane because he's a more experienced pilot than the pilot that she had flying her plane.
No, I mean when he... Because he steals the plane.
Wait, well, I'm talking about the plane that he landed when he got shot down. What plane are you talking about?
I'm talking about at the beginning of the episode when she tells him not to go and he steals the plane.
Oh, right. He opened the door.
Plane, she gets the pilot to bring the plane back, but then he does something to the door, and then that forces the pilot
right, because he destroys the cabin pressure within the plane so that the pilot can't fly with the door open. You can't fly a plane with the door open. You don't have equalized pressure.
Yeah, so, but I guess I kind of thought the door was gone, but I guess it wasn't. I was a little confused.
No, he just cracked it open and destroyed the cabin pressure.
Oh, okay. And no one was bleeding after that.
No one was bleeding? Oh, you mean like bleeding out of their eyes or something?
Yeah.
Not as far as I saw, but I would not recommend that as a way to make a plane land.
Yeah, we're going to give them a pass on that one.
Yeah, but I liked Ilsa and Chance trapped in the woods together. and the spiders. Ah! The spiders, that freaked me out a little bit. They were in this the abandoned cabin, and there were spiders all over the cabin. And I like the fact that Ilsa wasn't super girly about it. She's like, what are you worried about? It's just a spider. And he's like, yes, they're the most deadly spiders on the planet. And she was like, oh. and then they look up, and the whole ceiling is like all the spiders all over the place.
Oh, God.
And he's like, moved me very carefully. And it was just great because they went counter. You know, you think that because she's a rich billionaire, she sees a big spider, she's going to freak out. And she sees the big spider, and she's just like, wipes it off her arm. She's like, whatever. And he's
touching that thing will kill you.
I know, and he's the one who freaks out about it. The only thing I thought was silly when they had the assassin dude chasing after them through the woods was they had a moment where they could have killed him. Like, they fight him. They knock him down to the basement. He looks like he's unconscious. They have a gun, and they just run away. And I'm like, shoot him, and then you don't have to run away. You know what I mean? And then they don't shoot him, and then he keeps chasing him through the woods and almost kills him, and then he almost kills him at the end. But yeah. I did like the confrontation at the very end of the episode where the guy, like, everyone's home and everybody thinks they're safe, and that dude chases him back to the house, and he takes Ilsa hostage, and he's like, call Chance over here and, you know, set the trap. I like the fact she totally didn't do it. She was just like, Chance, I need you to come over here. And he's like, is everything all right? And she's like, nope, the killer's in my house. That was brilliant. And the killer just looked at her like, seriously? that was really good. Ilsa is such a great addition to the show, man. I mean, I cannot speak her praises enough, because every time you think you know what she's going to do, she does something else, and she doesn't fall into the stereotypes. So,
well, I love how they have these little moments between her and Chance, you know, where they kind of just kind of look at each other, and there's kind of an understanding. You know, kind of like the Christmas one where, you know, she was kind of really escaping, you know, to get away from the holidays, and he kind of recognized that. And then when they were in the woods, you know, one second they're having this massive argument and then the plane crashes, and the next thing he's trying to protect her from having the mental scars of actually killing the person.
Right, which ironically he didn't actually get to save her from. Right. That was actually, and I like that. I like the fact that they talked about why he felt it necessary to protect her from having to kill someone, and then at the end of the episode, she ends up having to kill someone. Yeah. And that was all that came together really well. I thought that was really well done. So,
well, did she not stab that guy in the back with a knife in the middle of the woods, and then he shows up with like no wounds or something? Did I miss that part?
She didn't stab. Who did she stab in the back?
Remember when they were kind of like dangling off the cliff?
Yeah,
Chance stabbed her. Didn't right. Chance stab him with the knife that he took off of the dead drug dealer?
No, she didn't. I don't think she stabbed him. I don't remember. So
nope.
I don't.
No, Chance. I don't remember. Chance stabbed him.
Okay, that's positive because Chance was. Yeah, Chance did stab him.
Yeah, and so he just kind of shows up, you know.
Hey, it's like the whole Terminator thing, man. It was like he was an assassin who could not be killed. That was where they were going with that.
Hogan is a.
All right, we want to move on to, obviously, watch Human Target, it's great. We're going to move on to a new pilot called Off the Map, which I did not watch. But go ahead, guys.
I did.
I did.
I think this is going to be one of those rare instances where the only reviews we have are negative. I thought this was just awful. Like, I mean, granted, I'm not a big fan of Grey's Anatomy, and I know this was done by the same person, and this was pretty much just Grey's Anatomy in a third world country.
But nowhere near as good, and nowhere near. And I think Grey's Anatomy isn't that great anymore. Yeah,
I watched Grey's Anatomy a little bit. I thought it was okay, but never really got all that much into it. And this was just, ugh. Like, first of all, the clinic is way too clean for this environment. Like, everything is like, there's bright colors. There's not grime and dirt everywhere.
What country are they supposed to be in?
Somewhere in South America. That's all it says.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I don't know if they actually tell us specifically.
No, they don't. Like, all we get is just this title card that comes up in the beginning that says, somewhere in South America. And that's all we get.
And so basically all the doctors are sleeping with each other?
Not yet.
Not yet, but that's where they're heading.
But, you know, it's obviously, like, you got the one superstar doctor who runs the clinic, who is, like, this ultra-chiseled, like, paragon of maleness, who is also Australian. And that was the other thing that bugged me, is, like, there are so many scenes where, like, the actor clearly forgot he's supposed to be Australian and just drops the accent.
Oh, they couldn't get an actual Australian. Didn't we get invaded by the Australian actors?
I thought so, but no. Like, and then when he does put on the Australian accent, it's so light. Like, I found myself having to, like, sort of, like, be like, oh wait, is that Australian he's doing? Like, it was so bad, and like, it was. I felt it was unnecessarily gory. Like, you had, like, the first scene where, like, the guy gets stung by a manta ray or something like that, and they pull him into the clinic, and he's got the manta ray there with the stinger completely impaling his foot. And, like, you just have these lingering shots of, like, this humongous stinger just gouging this guy's foot, and, like, you see them tugging on it and tugging on it, and there's, like, blood spraying, and then... and then you got, like, this other scene where, the character for the episode, like, the guest character is Michael McKean, and he's trapped on a zip line, and his arm has been caught in the zip line apparatus, and they have to go out and get him, and you just had these huge lingering shots of, like, his arm just flayed open, and there's, like, guts and gore.
Okay, stop.
This is brought to you by the makers of Spartacus. Right?
Yeah, it was so unnecessarily gory for this. And,
Peter, real quick, your summation.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I actually thought Michael McKean is probably the best shot of the episode. Just seeing the guy, well, before I know it's Michael McKean, when you first see him, it's just this guy on a zip line all the way up there. And I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Like, how are they going to get him down? But I would agree with him. Once you actually do get there, then, you know, the doctor who's trying to get to him on the same zip line crashes into him because it's, like, too fast, and then they have to, pretty much kind of cut the arm. They don't cut it off. They're more like...
They just need to, like, cut the bits that are caught in there out.
And then it's like he's there because his wife passed away, and that's where they meld. I was just like, oh, God, really? Like, you got what's his name? Is it Saracen? The guy
from Friday Night Lights.
Yeah,
that guy. And I like that guy, and then, like, he's supposed to be, I guess, the lazy rich kid, you know?
Yeah, he's I just want to be a plastic surgeon, and I'm only here because I want to see the beaches.
Like, lines like that, you know, I need you to go back and be a doctor. Those kind of lines, they're just so eye-roll-inducing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, come on. Like, I mean, Grey's Anatomy, like, it totally is soap opera and stuff, but I don't know, maybe, like, the hospital show has been done so many times that the layout of a hospital show is pretty defined. So, like, it's easy to, like, be engaged and move around. And in here, in a way, I actually thought, wow, you know, they're in South America, they can do anything. But it felt like all she does is, like, a character's on a motorcycle, moped, and suddenly it's a handy cam. Like, I was like, why? You know, like, it felt like she just has a lot of visual tricks that didn't really inform the area. It was just more like she's thinking, this is extreme, you know, and I just, it was pretty bad. Yeah. I thought it was pretty terrible.
Okay, like, thumbs down.
The thing that hooked me on the show that got me to want to watch it was the fact that the main girl in it is the same girl who was in Wonderfalls, who I love. but she was just, ugh.
Which girl, bad. Wait, which, what are you counting as the main girl? Because I didn't see one. Is it the blonde one?
No, the brunette one.
The one who...
The one who goes up on the zip line with the hot Australian line.
Okay.
Doctor.
All right. Actually, I thought she was okay, but
she,
I just don't
She
don't
was
know.
Okay, but I'm like, oh, God, why does she have to do this?
All right, let's move on to Modern Family. And this week's episode was Parents Inadequacies, apparently.
I loved it.
Yes, that is the theme of the show. You're right.
Yeah.
But this was more specific. I like the fact that the daughter came home. Like, they tried to distract her and make her not do her homework.
And she's, like, bouncing on the trampoline with her arms crossed. Like, I don't want to do
this. Pretty
funny.
I did like that.
I like the fact that when she came home and she only got, like, the second highest grade, she's like, well, I did the best that I could with what I was given, and I have to just be happy with that.
Right.
And I like the fact that it took the parents, like, 10 minutes to realize she insulted them.
Yeah. My favorite line has to be when they're in the theater and they bump into the parents of the kid who got
Did
the
better,
highest
right.
grade, and they're going to see Croctopus 3D,
right.
And the other parents are going to see like some highbrow hoity-toity French art film, and just and Claire is like, okay, we have to go with them and see this movie so that they think that we're smart. And Phil's just like, why do I have to watch a French movie? I didn't do anything wrong.
I didn't do anything wrong. No. Actually, you know what? That was good. My favorite line was more when they're in the French movie. At the beginning, she's like, she's trying to watch it, and Phil's like, you don't get this at all. And she's like, no. I thought the guy on the beach was kind of interesting. He's like, that was the trailer. And she's like, oh, so he's not coming back. Like, that was pretty good. I agree. I don't know if I thought it was like a great Modern Family episode, but what we're talking about was probably my favorite part, was the movie
right.
theater stuff.
I also thought the Cam and Mitchell story was a lot of fun this time.
It was so awkward. It was awesome. Like, I actually, when we get to the part where the guy is a midget, I was like, I actually fast-forwarded because I was so uncomfortable. Because I was like, oh my God.
I knew right away that, like, this kid, I put up air quotes, kid, that she...
Well, we knew it wasn't going to be Cameron.
We knew it wasn't going to be Mitchell. I just couldn't figure out what it was.
Sorry.
Yeah. We knew it wasn't going to be Mitchell's. And we knew that, like, this, they were barking up the wrong tree, but I have to say, like, I was not expecting it to be that she was dating a redheaded midget.
or that she had married
a redheaded midget. I was like, wow.
She really likes redheads.
And yeah, it was totally awkward, and I loved it.
It was so awkward. I was just like, I am so uncomfortable right now. Yeah, and I felt so bad for them. I was like, how do you get out of the house? I was like, I would have dived out of a window.
And it was so funny how Mitchell's like, or now how Cam's like, well, I'll just let you two discuss this, and like, runs for the door. He's like, I'm not gonna be here for this. Because, like, they brought him a present of, like, a little slugger baseball mitt.
Anyway.
And then, like, the guy opens it and looks at it, and he's like, little slugger, and... Cam's just like, I'm gonna go. We've destroyed you.
That was so awesome. But the Jay storyline with his wife and family was boring. Like, that one was like,
I don't even remember what it was.
It was just like they had these guests that Jay didn't
want.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, it was really like, just blah.
And like you were talking earlier, Peter, about like the conversation where, like, someone is saying one thing and everybody's interpreting it a different way.
Right.
They did
exactly.
that again with this, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
I saw where that was going. It's like, eh, well, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I thought that was the weakest one, definitely. I thought the other two were pretty good. And that's the thing I love about Modern Family. Maybe one storyline's not strong,
yeah.
but the rest of them are usually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, there's never been an episode where all three storylines have just been blech.
Right. But, all right, thumbs up for Modern Family.
Yep.
I want to talk about the end of Caprica. They ran off the last 5 episodes of Caprica in one big fell swoop.
And didn't tell anybody about it, really.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just blown away by the fact that now that it's canceled, I feel like crying because the end was so good.
It was. Like, these last 5 episodes, like... I admit, I was never much of a big Caprica fan. I was just sort of going along with it. Even even in like the second half, which was admittedly stronger, I was still kind of like, yeah, okay. But these last five episodes, I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, and I say that with lack of enthusiasm because it's like, that's it.
Yeah,
but
and
well, anything specific that sticks out?
Well, for me, I love the whole story with the Tauron Mafia.
Oh yes,
like, and this was a subplot. This was an arc that in the very beginning I was like, ugh, this is insufferable. This is so stupid. And then as like it was going on, I'm like, okay, it's more interesting. It's more interesting. And then by this, I was like, this is the coolest part of the whole show.
Right. Yeah, all that stuff with the Taurons. I was like, can I be a Tauron when I grow up?
They were incredible. They were amazing. And, like, just all the different facets they were doing and, like, the...
The flashback episode was great.
The flashback was amazing.
Yeah. What were you saying, Greg?
Yeah, the backstory.
Yeah, when you see the brothers as kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
And you find out that Sam, who you think of as the really big Tauron and the really... You know, one who does his duty, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. His parents are dead because he was being a kid.
Yeah.
He was being a kid.
Yeah.
But his parents both got killed for it.
Yeah.
And it's his fault. And the fact that Joseph is the one who actually killed his father so that he wouldn't be tortured.
Yeah.
Is just, like, mind-blowing.
Yeah. It was incredible. And, like, the other thing that, like, just really just sort of broke my heart with this whole thing was... the very end of the last episode when
right.
they do this epilogue, which is really sort of a preview for a season two that's never going to happen.
Yes.
And it looked incredible. I was like, oh, God, why?
I have to say the misdirection that they did with little Willy Adama was fantastic.
Oh,
because the last 10 minutes of the episode, I'm going, what?
Yeah,
what?
He can't be dead.
Yeah.
What?
Are they doing? What's going on? I don't understand.
Well, I was like, okay, they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to make him a Cylon, which is going to totally ruin everything about
right?
the SG,
yeah.
or they're going to have another kid and name him
Well, I didn't. I actually didn't think of them having another kid until they actually showed that. What
yeah.
I was thinking, I actually didn't even think he was going to be a Cylon. I thought some kind of way they messed up the time continuum. I was like, time has been rewritten. What?
You've been watching too much sci-fi.
I know. Well, I'm watching a sci-fi show.
Caught in Tychon's Rift for the last 35 years.
I was like, what the heck? Because they kill Willy Adama. He's the only... You're watching the show thinking, this is the only character who cannot die.
Right.
You know? And in the last episode, they kill him. And I'm like, what? What do you mean he's dead? I was like, is it some sort of secret that they have him hidden somewhere and he's not really dead? And I was like, no. They're having a funeral. He's dead.
Yeah.
And I was like... Well, what? Wait, what?
Wait,
and
they killed... Wait. Wait, so, they killed the 12-year-old kid?
Yes.
Kid?
Yes.
Yes, killed him dead.
How did they kill him?
With a bullet.
Shot.
He was shot.
He was trying to defend Joseph, and he gets shot.
Yeah.
And just bleeds out right there on the floor.
And you're just...
Okay, how do they explain this?
Well, that's the thing. Your confusion right now is exactly what all of us felt for like 10
yeah.
minutes. We're all going, what?
What?
Wait?
Wait.
What?
What?
And what's great is they have this trailer, they have this like this 5-minute trailer to show you what's going to happen for the next 10 years. And in part of the trailer, they get to this part where... it's in the future, and there's this 6 or 7 year old little kid, and they're like, "This is our new son, little Billy Adama."
Yeah, they have.
And
like,
I was
they
little,
have a naming ceremony.
Yeah, they
for
name,
him.
And they said, "We will call you William. Your name is William Adama, but we will call you Bill. And as is tradition, we name you after your older brother who has been killed." And I was like, "Okay." And what was great about it is. What I never really paid attention to was Willy Adama didn't have the cool blue the blue eye contacts that
right.
Edward James almost had through the whole series.
Yeah.
And
then this
which,
kid does,
which,
and I was like, oh God, right.
Right.
Which I actually called Olivia and I was like, what is up with the blue colored contacts? And she's like, Edward James almost wore that through the whole series. I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, no, he totally did. And I guess I didn't notice that the kid didn't have...
Right, exactly.
Right. Don't notice it.
Yeah.
Until you see the other kid with them, you're like, oh,
oh
right.
Yeah, and it all like comes together, and you're just like, oh. And it was, but that was the best thing, because there's this absolute confusion that you have as you watch the end of the episode, and you're just like, what are they doing? Like, you had no, it's like, what the heck is going on? And that was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was brilliant. And if you watch nothing else, you should watch that 5-minute trailer at the end where they, like, sum everything up and they tell you what's going to happen for the next 10 years. It's fantastic.
It's also, like, heartbreaking because you're like, we're never going to see that.
Yes, that's true, too. But it was a good, it felt like closure. It felt like a good wrap-up.
Yeah.
But it made you also sad that the show was gone.
Yeah, it's like you had them establishing how the Cylons enter society in, like, this really big, dramatic way.
Right.
You had the resolution with this Heaven program that...
I forgot to mention, the bombing in the stadium was stopped by the freaking Cylons.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, it was... And, like, how they just, like, sort of came in like, this big, dramatic, like, the helicopters drop in, and they're, like, charging through, like, a SWAT team.
Yeah.
And, like, sort of, like, picking out... the right ones, and you have, what's his name? Eric Stoltz. I can't remember his name.
Greystone.
You have Greystone, like, up in the press box with, like, policemen, like, banging on the door, and he's sitting there controlling them on his laptop. He's like, okay, now find this guy, now find that guy.
Yeah. And, oh, that was very tense. That was really good.
Yeah.
So, I thought that they did a really good job at the end, and I just feel like, why? Like, this is what the show should have been about the whole time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it ended really well, I have to say. It's thumbs up. I mean, if you didn't watch it because you didn't know what you're going to do, whatever, it's only one season, and by the time you get to the end of the season, it's very satisfying. It's very satisfying.
You know what was strange, though? For some reason, and I'm not really sure why, those episodes showed up on my DVR as being repeats.
Yes, mine didn't record it because it said it was a repeat, so my TiVo... didn't record it. I had to do it manually.
Whoa.
Yeah, so luckily I had it set to actually record Caprica no matter when it came on. Otherwise, I would have missed them.
Yeah, I don't understand what that was about either. But
That would explain why I didn't see them on my TV schedule, because I looked on my DVR and like I saw like a whole slew of Capricas coming up and they were all repeats. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I've seen those, so I didn't bother with it, and I ended up watching the last five on Hulu.
Oh, okay, yeah. It was just, I don't... They were determined not to have us watch these episodes.
I think because of that
the coolest scenes was when they were all frantically rushing around because they're like, oh my gosh, the mafia is after me. We got to get out of town. They're like, where's the papers? They're like, I stole them in the office. Why did you throw them in the office? And they're having this big argument. And then the grandma comes in and just like throws a meat cleaver into the back.
That was so awesome.
Yeah, the grandma's no joke. I love that about her.
And all she says is, I never liked him anyway.
I like how they defeated the Quattron because he was just not tech savvy.
Yeah.
They totally defeated him because he didn't understand computers. And I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. And what I liked was that it wasn't a power grab for the Adamas. It was just to get rid of him and then put his daughter up.
They were like, we're not trying to take the position. We just, you know, he killed my son. I gotta kill him.
Blood for blood.
Yeah, it was great. Like I said, the show ended really, really well. So, thumbs up. And that about wraps us up. Anybody have any final comments?
I'm looking forward to TV coming back. Stuff like that. Hey, wait, do you guys think it really matters because of the Nielsen thing that Fringe is on Sunday? Let me say this
Fridays,
first. Because in the world we live in, most people are just TiVo, so I don't really care what day it's on.
Yeah, that's
so does
true.
It really matter?
Yes, it does, because the Nielsen families don't necessarily use TiVo, and people
then they shouldn't be the people that were that.
I understand, but that's the way
I agree.
It is.
But Fox is still going off Nielsen numbers, which is what.
But why? I mean, like. I don't know, it's weird. Because it feels to me like, in a way, it doesn't really matter.
I agree with you, but that's not...
Unfortunately, the networks haven't caught up with that. I mean, the CW has. They go off of DVR numbers more than Nielsen numbers.
Yeah, all the networks have to switch to the DVR numbers because everybody watches stuff on DVR. That's absolutely true. One thing I wanted to remind everybody of, White Collar returns next week.
Yay!
Make sure you tune in, and... Fairly Legal is 2 weeks, I believe.
I gotta say, the Fairly Legal ad I love, except for her stupid, and I like that actress, but the whole like sexy girl with the finger in her mouth, I'm just like, why? But I do like the copy's great. What does it say? Like something less lawyer, more appeal. And I was like, oh, that's clever. Like, I mean, I like the ad.
Well, I also like who's playing her boyfriend or husband. It's Anders from Battlestar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I like her from Life. She's great. So, yeah, I very much hope it's not going to be Covert Affairs Part 2. Like, I hope it's good.
Well,
so,
when you set your DVR for Fairly Legal, White Collar, I believe, comes on before it. So, record them both. How about that?
Well, I can't because I don't have cable. So, I cannot. But the viewers out there should do that, yes.
All right. And that about wraps us up. So, if you just remember, guys, if you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at tvcampfire. We're on Facebook. And I have to update my blog at tvcampfire.com. But come on over, take a look, give your comments, and talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye. Later.